Hosted by Claudio Cortez, this is Modern Macho, a gentleman's exploration and guide to being a man in today's society.
Welcome back to Modern Macho. I'm your host, Claudio Cortez, here with my lovely co-host,
Sir Cedric Liggins. Thank you again. I love being here every week.
Hey, same here.
Yeah, definitely. So, Claudio, I think this is our fifth podcast?
Number five, indeed.
Number five. Five is one of my favorite numbers, actually. And let's talk about the number five.
I actually dislike the number five.
Well, we're drinking Five Lizard right now.
That's true. Actually, this is perfect.
Wow.
So it's not too bad. So a good shout out.
You read his mind.
Oh, that's right. Wait, let's take the time and introduce our guest for today.
Okay.
Definitely our guest for this episode.
Hello.
Tyler Durden, was it?
Tyler Deal.
Deal.
Would be great if it was Durden.
Durden?
Would be way more famous.
Right.
I would be famous, period, probably.
Right. You invented the Fight Club. Ironically, we all just beat the shit out of each other about 5 minutes before we came and did the podcast.
Shirts are off. We're all bleeding. It's cool, though.
It's
you got to work it out, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You got to get the workouts in. It's good cardiovascular health, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good for you.
You know what? And since we are a show about men, this is how men definitely solve their problems. And we just go and we just beat it out of each other.
There's a lot of testosterone in this room.
It's definitely, and it's true in this, Five Lizard beer.
By Five Rabbits Brewery.
We love you guys.
Sponsor.
Right,
sponsor.
Just saying.
Listen to us. Give us money.
Okay, so let's talk about you, Tyler. You're not Tyler Durden.
I am Tyler Deal.
You're Tyler Deal.
Yes.
Which is still cool. Which is still very manly.
Thank you.
I guess.
I feel very manly. It can be manly.
Okay.
I think it can. So I'd like to start off saying. So what exactly is it that you do, Tyler?
I am a designer during the day, 9 to 5, and then I do screen printing at night.
Okay, cool.
Gig posters, art prints, stuff like that.
We are recording at the Chicago Art Department studio. Gozamos is the podcast, and I've known Tyler for almost about a year now,
mm-hmm.
and he definitely creates amazing and beautiful work.
Oh, thank you.
So definitely, cheers to you, my friend. We do this a lot in the episode.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, man. So let's get started with what we're going to dive into today.
That sounds great.
The theme for today's episode would be confidence versus arrogance and what that means in our lives.
Right.
So definitely confidence would be, I don't know, Claude, what do you think the difference is between arrogance and confidence?
So, I mean, I think it really depends on the
James
context.
Bond and Batman, pretty much.
Ooh, there
definitely
you go.
Have to say that.
I think we might delve into that a little later.
Batman or James Bond?
Well, let's save that till we have about 3 more beers each.
So I kind of feel that confidence versus arrogance, it's a very thin line. Because I think there's a lot of negative connotations to arrogance. However, at the same time,
I honestly kind of feel that we need a little arrogance. Definitely confidence. I would put money in confidence, like especially when, you know, different social circles are involved. You don't want to appear arrogant. I would definitely much rather be confident.
Right.
I think it depends on the context in which we're using it.
Actually, very true.
I think arrogance is more of an outspoken confidence. Like some artists are arrogant because they just have that air of sort of like, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
My work is great or something like that. Confidence, I feel like, is way more quiet. I was going to say way more confident, but I guess that's using the word in the definition.
So,
yeah, I feel like arrogance is more outspoken.
That makes sense. Do you have any examples, either of you, really, of what that might actually entail?
Hmm.
So would you describe, I mean, you had the description of an artist. Do you have any tangible, maybe... representations.
I can give you an example. I mentioned I was a soccer player. We were talking a little bit before. There's a lot of cocky people in soccer. And I think cocky is...
In sports in general,
In sports, actually. I think arrogance... I've played with a couple people on a couple teams that are arrogant.
Right.
And it's entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it comes down to, is entitlement.
Dive into that a little bit more.
Well, we would, you know... He would think he was better than somebody on the team. He thinks he deserves more playing time. he thinks he should have better cleats, better shoes. He thinks he's a better player.
Like, because I'm a better player, I should play.
Right.
You know.
But I don't think that's necessarily true. Despite, well, I mean, I think soccer's a unique example. You don't really need to be the best player on the team. You just need to be a team player. But
right.
Arrogance, I could tell a cocky player by his shoes.
I was honestly. About to say, definitely. Oh, by his shoes?
The brightness of the shoes.
The brightness, how expensive they are. Yep. They're either very arrogant or their parents are rich.
Right.
So
and hair too.
Yeah, the hair too. They always generally look a lot better, like because like the arrogance
together more. Like you're not supposed to have your hair gelled for a soccer game. I'm sorry.
But they do. You know, these are the guys that would, you know, clean their nails for a soccer game or something.
Right. Right.
You know, but on the concept of sports, like let's say basketball, football in general, like even as a person who plays sports and who coaches sports, you know, I consider myself a confident player. But when somebody like let's look at shit talking, you know, it's definitely part of the sport.
Right.
But that's where arrogance, you know, where it clashes or like two very egotistical or egocentric people. Once they clash, they have to see who's better.
Yeah.
Like one has to win. And that's pretty much it, which I think I kind of respect about sports. You know,
I think it takes a certain person to be able to shit talk during a game or during anything like that.
Right.
Because I could never do it because it took me out of my game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a quiet dude. I would say I'm confident. Arrogance, I'm very, very conscious of because that's like the reason I said it was near and dear to me. Like arrogance is my pet peeve, number one pet peeve.
Now is that ingraining you since childhood? Is it because we are Midwestern, or do you think it's a cultural thing?
I think it is sort of a cultural thing. I grew up in a very small town, and I was always the. Speaking of arrogance, confidence. See, when I say I was the best player on the team, I feel arrogant, but I'm confident in that fact because I played more and I'm more experienced. But I was very careful not to voice that or act like anything like that. Like I'm very, very, very conscious of that because when somebody is arrogant to me, that means that I just like shut off. Like they're just talk. They're all talk.
Okay. So
right, back it up.
Yeah, right.
So outside of the sports realm, where else do you find this kind of confidence versus arrogance struggle taking place?
I think definitely I'm a graphic designer by trade. I think there's egos in graphic design, which translates directly to arrogance, I think, because design is has this connotation that it's this highfalutin, you know, black turtleneck with these nice glasses.
Right.
It's not though. It's like, you know, you'll see like, Dieter Rams is a bad example, but he's the iconic, sort of the iconic designer, you know,
I was going to say like Andy Warhol.
Yeah. Black turtleneck.
Oh yeah. Like,
sort of aloof.
It's beauty. It's
yeah. And I think where designers get their ego is they think they know their best. They think that their idea is better than the client's idea, sort of. You know, it's a very hard balance because you have to make the client happy, but you also have to be happy with the work that you're doing.
Right. So I guess that brings us to an interesting point, especially like in a design thing where there's clients involved. At what point do you put the arrogance and or confidence away and you just kind of submit to it? I mean, obviously, the client's always right. Right,
right,
right. You kind of have to think that. Like, if they want it, you have to give it to them.
I got to disagree with that.
Okay.
The client isn't always right.
Oh, wait. There was an example in Mad Men about that, wasn't there? Yeah. Where the guy, what's my man's name? What's that guy's name?
Don Draper
told the client to get the hell out of there because, you know, because it wasn't going to sell.
Right.
Definitely.
I think it's true to an extent, but I think, and I may be wrong. This is where I'm still learning. I've been in, you know, design for a year and a half professionally. Mm-hmm. I think the client is not supposed to be right. Mm-hmm. It's your job to make sure that you, as a designer, you give them what they want in a very tasteful way that communicates their message well.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you get into trouble when you think the client is always right, because if they have a crappy idea and they're right, like, are you going to do it?
Well, they're paying for it, aren't they? I guess my personal philosophy is if they want shit, well, you give them a pile of shit and then you take your check.
Right. And I have done work like that. I have done work like that.
I think we all have.
You know, there's a certain point where you have clients where you're just like, okay, dude, or just
like
I'll
whatever
just give
you want.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Just let's just keep going.
And I guess it's a matter of the client. You know, some people are willing to work with you, but I work in a very corporate environment right now, and I don't think people are always right, but I have to do that because I'm getting paid for that job. But on the freelance side, if somebody gives me an idea that I don't think is right, I'll say it. I'll say, like, it's my recommendation that this is wrong. What I'm really trying to say is that's a stupid idea. But you have to say it because they're paying you.
You also got to think about, like, look at the client, too. You know, is he going to be as arrogant, like, I know what I want. I know what this has to be. I have this entire vision, and it has to be done.
Right.
You know, or is he able and willing to work with you to kind of create a project where you both coexist in it.
At that point, I think you're trying to create the ideal client.
And, and they barely exist.
Yeah, I've worked
with maybe one.
I don't think those... Yeah, that's you're looking for unicorns.
There's two.
You know? I think the arrogance comes in when you start to say to the client, give the connotation that you're better than them,
mm-hmm.
but you really have to... If I found that if you're confident and like this is why this will work and this won't, they trust you more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like you don't know what you're talking about. Where if you say that, they're like they feel challenged and then they want to fight back. But if you're just confident and know what's right, mm-hmm. they'll tend to listen. That's what I found. Except with freelance clients. Those are interesting.
I had taken this note down before, but I really want to touch back on this whole corporate, you know, designer thing
mm-hmm.
because you are in a very interesting sort of mid ground. You know, you're also in a very corporate field,
mm-hmm.
but yet you're a designer. You're a creative. You know,
right.
Do you have a 9-to-5 desk job where you go and you sit at a desk? You know,
yes.
Is it like Mad Men where, you know, if you're waiting around for a client, do you guys share a bottle of John Walker? You know,
I wish.
So let us know what's going on. What is design? What is it in a corporate setting? And how do you use confidence in order to get what you want and to move ahead in such a field?
It's interesting because on the side, I do all this gig poster stuff. I do all this stuff on my own, which fulfills that need to fulfill my creative needs.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate design. And what I do is, it's not like that at all. The reality is I have to play to the client's needs. I have to give my bosses what they want. I have to give the client what they want. I have to sacrifice a lot of my creative...
Mm-hmm.
urges,
mm-hmm.
right,
in order to get the job done.
Okay.
And I've recently come to a peace with that. That's okay. You know,
yeah.
I'm learning a lot of different things there. I'm learning how corporations work. I'm learning how big businesses work. And I kind of suck it up and I do the best job I can with what I'm given.
Mm-hmm.
And if my boss is happy with me, I'm happy.
Well, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
So how do you feel that feeds into your definition of what it means for you to be a man?
To me, that whole thing is being a man in that sense is owning up to what you do and being confident with what you put out. Whether you're happy with it or not,
mm-hmm.
I've done logos there or stuff that I'm not happy with,
mm-hmm.
but people think are great. Which is
like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess I did a good job. I don't really know. I think you have to, as a man, you mm-hmm. have to sort of, you have to suck it up and own it. Really, I mean, you are your work, or I am my work. That's always my sort of mentality.
Right.
So what I create is me. Like that's how I express myself. I'm not a dude that goes out a lot. I'm not a dude that does a lot of social things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very introverted. I create a lot.
Work driven.
Well, yes.
That definitely explains why when I would come in, I guess I'm work driven as well, because we would be here for about 4 or 5 hours till 2 or 3 in the morning trying
right.
to get these projects off the ground.
Right.
But all right, let's talk about what you do here. Let's talk about where you actually have creative control when it comes to these freelancers, where you can say, no, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way. So tell us where your kingdom, so to say. Tell us about your small business. Tell us about where it's going, where it's been.
Okay. Well, I was printing in college, mm-hmm. very, very sparingly, only probably in one or two projects.
Let's see, what is printing?
Screen printing is, it's a medium where it's like a light sensitive medium where you make a design, mm-hmm. you separate it into colors. It's called burning onto the screen.
Okay.
And then you kind of pull the colors separately. And what I love about it and what is separate from my corporate world mm-hmm. is I can get my hands dirty. I can do whatever I want here.
There's a whole lot of paint involved.
Whole lot of dirtiness involved. So I've been doing Idiot Pull for about 4 months now.
Wait, what is it called?
It's called Idiot Pull. P-U-L-L. I was going to call it Idiot Press, but technically...
It's Idiot Pull?
Pull, yeah.
Okay.
So technically you just pull. You
really I just wanted
press.
To double check I heard the name because I do have a hearing problem. So I definitely hear what I want to hear. And right. Obviously I heard... Right. Okay, cool. Awesome. Yay for us.
Yeah.
So Idiot Pull, it's mm-hmm. where you actually pull the screen out of the screen printer.
You'll pull the ink over the screen.
Oh, okay.
And it goes through the screen and lands on the paper.
Oh, so
and then it cool. actually makes your design.
So that's
and it's actually it's going really well. My dream job is gig posters. I want to do gig posters, and I recently did a couple gig posters for Local Natives and mm-hmm. Alt-J, and I did it on my own. It was kind of guerrilla. I just took them to them at the show, like I did them and took them to them, and mm-hmm. said, "Here, if you want to sell them, go for it. I'm not asking for any money, but do it." And I've gotten into shows for free. I've gotten T-shirts. I've gotten to know the bands a little bit,
nice.
And I'm just kind of getting my foot in the door. So it's going really well. And I've got a website, and I like push it on Tumblr and Twitter and all that stuff. Well, but it's going great.
Social networking.
Ugh, God, we were just talking about that before you got here. Twitter. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
What is it? Hashtags.
Hashtags. It's a way to say a lot in a sentence.
Right.
You know, you definitely have to be skilled at it.
I always run out of room.
I used to too. I'm getting much better at it. You know, like
what is it? 140 characters?
I think 100. I don't know. 160.
Yeah, it's 140.
I think my tweet would be like at the studio doing podcasts. Yay! Bam! And then there's a link.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That would be it.
That's really. I'm learning. Definitely. I'm not the best marketer. This is your alley. I'm not. I'm terrible.
If you want to learn from Claudio, I can teach you right now. Get a whole bunch of stickers and just go and plaster them everywhere. What's that called?
Called branding.
Branding.
Branding. Yeah, I'm getting used to the. I can do the work. I love doing the work, but
yeah.
The stuff, the Twitter and the Tumblr, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to get in the right market.
So, what's your ideal market right now besides shows and artists?
I'm trying to sort of make stuff for people to buy now. Like I would just make stuff for fun
mm-hmm.
and that stuff didn't sell.
Right.
And it was a hard thing for me to swallow. Like this is what I want to see. This is how I want to print.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't selling. And
right.
I'm trying to make this thing into a full-time thing eventually. So I had to concentrate. I'm doing state art right now.
What does that mean?
So like my girlfriend and I just did this thing called this poster called Ohio. And it's just like a pun on Ohio.
Right.
And then I just did this thing called Swissconsin.
Oh, Ohio.
Ohio instead of Ohio.
Okay.
So it's a little pun project. It's just like...
I totally thought you said Halo for a second. Oh, we did this project called Halo?
Halo.
I was like, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I was the Halo guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See, I told you, I hear things, they're wrong, but, you know, okay, so Ohio. Actually, I remember seeing that. That's actually a really good poster.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, no problem.
So yeah, I'm starting to do more stuff that's... consumer driven. You have to have something that people connect with.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a state, a band,
right,
a lyric, something. But I did this like I did a couple of abstract posters that aren't mm-hmm. selling, and I get it now. Like nobody knows what they are.
Really. Right. What, you know, like, you kind of have to give people something that they can think about. But
right.
At the same time, you can't make them think too hard.
Right.
You know,
it's a delicate balance. I'm still learning.
Yeah, I think we all are.
But it's great.
Let's the funny thing, because you mentioned connection earlier. We had a guest last episode 4, Roy Kinsey, check it out, who talked about the connection between his viewers and the music that he did. You know, so like let's say if if you were to have a bunch of posters, you know, mm-hmm. like let's say, would like community activism, let's say, I know that's kind of like way out there, you know, but you could, would you be willing or able to use your design, you know, in order for that? Like, let's say, what's going on? I know that,
I've actually got something coming on.
Oh,
have you guys ever heard of Moving Design? Yeah. It was a project. Do you guys know the design firm Thirst?
It sounds familiar. Shout out to Thirst.
It's actually kind of why I moved to Chicago. It's this guy named Rick Valicenti.
Yeah.
He's always inspired me over the years. Read his, you know, design monographs and like always respected him. And when I got to Chicago, I did a moving design about bike safety. It was about a year ago. And there's one now concentrating on sustainability in the West Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually having a little workshop in here Saturday, raising awareness for just living more sustainably. So I actually am using it now to sort of like get into the community and use my, I'm not designing anything, but I'm mm-hmm. using my printing skills to like get their posters out there, which is great.
Right.
Like, it's nice to have a reason to print rather mm-hmm. than just like, I want to sell this thing. I hope people buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like actually has a message that's deep, you know?
Yeah, actually it's deeper than you'd think. Loyal listener, you were explaining the ink you were using. For that project.
Yeah.
Do you mind delving into that?
No, I've been experimenting with food-based ink. Food is a loose term. Actually, I've been using...
I totally thought of like hamburgers.
Just, you know, yeah. ground up meat, yeah, just grinding meat, it through the screens. Now that's manly.
This poster is made of bacon. well, I'm sure...
This mic is made of bacon.
Everything's made of bacon now. We were having a fight club in bacon.
Yeah.
I just tried cinnamon, printing with cinnamon, and basically anything that has a pigment to it, like mm-hmm. cinnamon or turmeric or paprika or cumin,
mm-hmm.
has a pigment in it. And if you mix it with the stuff called screen printing medium, basically it's like it extends your ink. It's like a, you know, if you have a drop of ink and you add extender, you'll have 4 drops of ink, mm-hmm. but the same color. So basically you mix the cinnamon and medium and it makes a sweet looking orange color and it prints and it's so cheap.
And how long does that last versus conventional ink?
It probably lasts a little less. I think it would probably age over time.
Yeah.
Probably really bad. I did posters in college using the same technique and they're still alive.
Oh,
so who knows? That was a couple of years ago.
Like, did you frame them?
No.
Yeah, that probably might be it. Maybe if you frame them.
Yeah, protect them a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm always interested in finding my own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I did that as a cheap alternative to these expensive inks. I was in college. I didn't have any money. So I got these nice colors, and we actually ended up getting a blue. I'm not sure how. I don't remember how we got a blue. But there's ways to do it.
I am really interested in this whole organization of moving design.
Moving design.
You know, especially for social activism. You know, what, I don't know, since we're on the topic of what, since this is like being a man show, you know,
manly.
We do need to give manly, I give back. But in a way that's changed, you know, and what we do, you know, for society. Now it's not like me man, me go out and kill, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all right. Me kill, but now I have to like, use everything, you know.
Yeah, like what are you doing with it?
Right. What's going to happen? We can't throw anything away anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely reuse it, which is why I'm totally down for putting cinnamon, you know, in.
and it smells great.
Yeah.
It really does.
On to make paint with it.
Yeah.
You
now,
know,
is it a consistency thing that makes it an ink?
Yeah, it is.
So it needs to be ground up pretty finely.
Yeah. So if you took like.
So what you're saying is. We could make a bacon ink.
Absolutely. if you dried bacon out,
yeah,
and crumbled it up fine enough, you could make an ink out of it. I mean, basically all ink is pigment and liquid.
Yeah.
So if you have anything that has a strong enough pigment, maybe I'm trying to think of what other foods you could print with.
Yeah.
Like say basil doesn't print because it just doesn't have a lot of pigment. It's just, you know, it has the chlorophyll, but once you grind it up, that's really
like
non-existent.
Probably,
you know, it's dried out. So it'll make like a very, very light green.
Mm-hmm.
But cinnamon is, you know, it's brown. It always is brown.
Yeah.
So it'll make mm-hmm. a brown ink. That's pretty cool.
So you use my mother's spice rack to make ink to paint.
Absolutely.
To paint these social messages for a social event that we need for, what, Chicago, like, let's say.
Exactly.
You did bike safety.
Mm-hmm.
What was, has there been anything else? What are you doing next?
There was a bike safety one, and then this one's sustainability. They've done a couple in the past with water. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm really interested in that, and I think it ties back to sort of being a man per se, just being a, like, giving back to the community.
Socially conscious human being.
Yes. There you go. There you go. I love, you know, I can design all day for this corporate world. It's not close to my heart. This mm-hmm. sustainability issue is close to my heart. So I'm going to use my expertise, my skills to convey that, to help them, you know, help that message get out there. And I think that has a lot to do with my definition of being a man is.
Oh, okay.
And sort of just making, I think we were talking about this a bit before. I think everybody has a purpose in life. I'm not the most religious person, but I think you innately have a purpose. Mine is to make things. Mm-hmm. Mine is to create. How can I help people through doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is one way, through moving design.
Well, my next question would have been, you know, what makes you a man? One.
What makes me a man?
You know, let's sum that up in like
my
a couple
beard.
Of sentences. Yeah, I didn't want to say it. You know,
my fist did catch that a couple times in the Fight Club portion of this.
I think for me, being a man is less about looks, less about being anything stereotypically male. Like when I think man off the top of my head, it's like sports and mm-hmm. football and stuff like that. But I think it's moving away from that. I don't think that definition really applies anymore. It's like, to me, being a man is not identifying with anything. Maybe not identifying is the wrong word, but maybe not relying on something to define you. You have to define yourself. I'm not a sports guy mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm.
My friends are huge sports dudes. So when I'm around them, I don't know what they're talking about. But I'm confident that I'm not less of a man because I don't know who played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know
the scores.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an interesting conversation when I meet guys. Like, it would just like friends of friends at a bar, like, shake their hand. Oh, did you see the game last night? I'm like, no.
I'm like, what game?
Like, it's hard. I find it hard to have a conversation with dudes like that because I get their side, but they don't understand right. my side.
No,
like,
I totally understand because I went from, I always said that I'm an artist. I don't do sports.
Right.
You know, because, you know, you're alone mm-hmm. a lot of the time and you're creating in that sense. You know, that's definitely what I'm used to.
Right.
But I actually went and I started to research sports because, mm-hmm. like, I found out that even if I saw one game sporadically at a bar or whatever.
Right.
And then I went somewhere the next day, someone, did you see the game? I'm like, actually, yes, I did.
Yeah.
That would span into a 15 to 20 minute conversation with one guy, you know, and then let's say if two or three, four other dudes saw the game and had different opinions, that's almost an hour conversation.
And you wouldn't even necessarily have to talk about the game the whole time.
No,
it's like,
wouldn't.
Hey, did you see that game? Oh, what do you do? What's your name?
Yeah, exactly. It's just another way that I found that you can instantly connect with another male. It's a stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cliche, but it definitely works.
Yeah, Claudio. I had to learn that quick. I'm not really into sports, but
yeah.
I'm professionally into sports.
Right.
Like sports.
Lacrosse is not a sport.
No, I'm...
yes, it is. Actually, I'm
in the sports industry, and so I had to learn how to talk about golf.
Right.
And talk about college basketball and football and European soccer.
And be excited about it.
And cricket.
Yeah.
And, you know, and... Yeah, I think that comes a bit to my definition of what it means to be a man, kind of doing what it takes and owning up to it.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to cross my comfort zone and learn about, you know, the Marquette basketball team, you know?
Right.
I wanted to work for ESPN, and the first thing that they told me is, you have to be into sports. And I was like, oh, well, I spend 40 hours a week in front of a computer trying to... edit all the videos you see on TV.
Right.
But
I don't necessarily watch sports.
I know Michael Jordan. Did he still play?
He was a guy, wasn't he?
He's a hockey player, right?
I have the same experience. I work for a restaurant company, but we do food for venues, like NBA teams, NFL teams, all to do with sports. When I started, I didn't know anything about sports. I didn't care about it. I don't necessarily care about it now, but I've learned that some people do, mm-hmm. and this is my job right now, so I have to sort of, I don't watch ESPN. I really don't, like, at all. My roommate watches it a lot.
I can't even do that.
No. I
have friends from college and now professionally that I know people that they have to go home and watch SportsCenter, and I'm like, really? Come on.
I put it on in the background.
Yeah.
And it's just so I can keep up.
NPR works just as good.
Yeah. My opinion on ESPN is, from the little I watched, it's gossip for dudes. It's like, like they talk about some player's tweet. Are you kidding me? Like, you're a sport channel and you're talking about some dude's, like, girlfriend, something. Like, do you not have anything else to talk about?
You've got hot chicks that are anchor women interviewing mm-hmm. these sports guys. You've got men of all ages arguing with each other, old school sports player, sports announcer, new school people that have been around in the business for a while.
Right.
You know, you have all them arguing with each other. You've got sports skits, you know, that they play that's almost equivalent to SNL.
Right.
Like the Sports Center thing where the mascots walk around and the sports players are in the thing. It everything that you see on TV, all the different channels, SNN is ABC, the NPR or whatever, mm-hmm. where it comes to like world events, they talk about that too. It is gossip for dudes. It completely is. And it encompasses everything we watch on television into one channel. It's crazy. You have Barack Obama will be on there, Steve Carell ghost star. Which is like guest starring.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. And I'm a person from the outside looking into ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, from a person like, who went from nothing to, all right, now I feel that I have to learn everything about it because I want to work for these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
As a video guy, it's probably like a dream job, right?
As a video guy, you know, you're traveling, you have to visit all these sports teams, you know, you're in a studio, in a multi-billion dollar studio, you have athletes and
well, couldn't you do the same thing at just another television company? Could you do the same thing for PBS?
Ooh, you could do like a reading hour or something in PBS. That's immediately what I think of when I think of PBS.
A reading hour.
I haven't watched it in a long time, okay. So my opinion's skewed.
I was raised on PBS. I think about is like, you know,
Sesame Street,
Reading Rainbow. Yeah,
you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, yeah. Sesame Street. You have those.
The Magic School Bus.
No. Besides that, we're talking like adult programming here. You have like that.
Reading Rainbow.
Like the absurdly boring like News Hour. And
a very low monotonous voice. Like
welcome
this.
Back to News Hour.
Thank you for your show.
Today, the Saudi Prime Minister.
Ninja money.
I mean, you could be that guy. You could be switching scene from scene at the money drives.
Oh, who says that I wouldn't? Who says I didn't apply? You know, ESPN is the one that said, thanks for applying.
You just seem very ardent about it.
Yeah. On the topic of that, it's such a definition of our culture as men mm-hmm. now to like sports that I almost relish when somebody asks me if I watched a game and I say no. And just the look on their face.
Yeah.
If they're like an open-minded person, they'll be like, oh, okay. But if they're like...
close it like, oh my god.
I always love that.
What, like, what do you mean, dude? Yeah. Like, what? Go read a book.
Yeah.
It's like, really? What are you, an 80s Kay. Movie villain?
Go read a book.
Go read a book.
Yeah.
I would think, like, I start to feel when, like, well, how come you didn't watch this game? How come you don't know this, that, or the other?
Right.
You know, whatever they say. I feel like I'm the nerd being picked on by the jock at school.
Yeah.
You see, I have no problem with that. And I think
you don't have a problem being the nerd?
Not at all.
Well,
I was a jock in high school. Like I didn't encompass like jock. Like when you think of jock, I think bully and like teasing the whoever didn't play sports. I was very conscious of the fact that I was a soccer player and people saw me like that, and that's just how it was.
Okay, now being actually, I have a question about that. Okay. So being in small town America, mm-hmm. was there a difference between the kids that played soccer versus like your football team? I'm assuming you had a football team.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming you were the tolerable jocks versus the
look what I can do with my hair.
I grew up in a very small town called Sidney, Ohio. It's in the middle of Dayton and Lima, if you know where that is in Ohio. The huge town, just 20,000 people, like probably as big as maybe like half of a quarter of Wicker Park, maybe. But I hated the football team, and I hate football to this day because of that.
Yeah.
I just saw, for the most part, this was true in college too.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, those dudes were so cocky and arrogant because our culture worships football,
mm-hmm.
that they thought that they were the kings of the world. And I think that's where I get my sort of like humble nature, is because I saw these dudes being total dicks.
Well, you know, referring to yourself as having a humble nature is very contrary
to the phrase. That's true. That's true. Maybe humble is the wrong word. Conscious?
You're very conscious of... dickheadedness.
Dickheadedness, yes, of course. Like when I have my soccer team in high school, we were so much better than the football team.
Mm-hmm.
We would win maybe, you know, like 75% of our games. They would win maybe 10%, and we still got made fun of. They would still make fun of us. I have no idea why. They're that to me is saying like, I'm less of a man, so I'm going to make fun of you to make myself feel better.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're playing soccer and you're not brutally tackling people or whatever. No. I think soccer is more physical than football.
But
I'm just going to throw it out there.
It's a lot more running.
I like to make fun of football because I played a little rugby in college.
Oh, you did?
So, you know, I played, you know, real
rugby,
sports.
Yeah. Rugby is serious.
Really?
That was my manly epitome, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Interesting. So, just to touch on a little news, touching the news. It's kind of old at this point.
What do you think about us?
Just touched him.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
I feel molested. Mm. So you're from Ohio. You have problems with your football team.
Mm.
How do you feel about that Steubenville rape case?
You're going to have to fill me in.
Okay, so...
Because as much as I don't watch sports, I never watch TV.
Oh, gosh. No, it was NPR, man. So there was this...
There were these two high school kids
that were on the football team, and they took advantage of this girl.
With the girl at a party?
Yeah, they raped her and stuff.
Right.
But the media afterwards, after these kids were convicted, rightfully so...
Right.
They were, you know, complaining about like their promising future and all this other stuff because they were football players, and that just kind of really pissed me off. I'm like, well, where are we at a society with our athlete worship that these young men felt entitled?
High school kids, right?
High school kids, absolutely. How do you feel about that?
I think it's bullshit, man. I even saw it on BuzzFeed. I knew I would know what you were talking about when you mentioned it. There was a bunch of people on Twitter defending these dudes. They have no context of what happened. Yes, the girl might have been drunk, but you have no idea what happened, and you're automatically siding on the side of two dudes.
Convicted rapists?
Convicted rapists who, this girl said, raped them. Like, what other proof do you need? Like, the girl said that...
And they fucking took pictures of it.
Yeah.
I mean...
And, like, how do you like, oh, they're promising athletes, but yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah. No, they're just terrible human beings, and would you like to weigh in on this, Sir Cedric? How do you feel about this like culture of entitlement among and then like athlete worship that I think is kind of an inherent problem in our male culture?
The first thing that came to my mind is how many top athletes are in jail right now?
Right,
because they got too fucking cocky,
too much money,
drugs, women, car crashes, DUIs. Yeah, okay, be the pinnacle of our high school society, but watch what happens.
And you know, we worship,
if anything.
Yeah, that is arrogance. Well, the question I want to pose is, so say you're 18, 19 years old, you're mm-hmm. a star mm-hmm. basketball player.
Right.
I'm talking about like LeBron James I'm thinking of. You get so much money, millions and millions of dollars when you're 18, 19 years old. You're on ESPN, you're on the cover of magazines, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
How are you not going to get cocky? Like, as a developing, like, when I was 18, 19, I didn't know what I was. I was still developing, like my mind.
Yeah.
I totally hat off to anybody in the NFL or NBA that was brought in like that and they're not cocky.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's physically possible.
You don't think it's physically possible not to be cocky?
Let's look at...
I mean, in that context, when you have every single person in your life telling you, hey, man, you're the shit.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of money. Do you like Ferraris? Here's a Ferrari.
Right. Everything for free.
Yeah.
Themselves at you, probably.
Well, I'm pretty sure after the first 2 months, you're going to be like, I deserve this.
Entitlement.
You know, and that's where the cockiness comes in. You got something to say?
What about a confident player, though?
Exactly. I was going to say, like, Michael Phelps, for example. What has he got busted in doing? He smoked weed, right? And then he did one commercial for Versace where he just sat down and drank a cup of wine.
Right.
Okay? He's not supposed to do that, but he got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But one, you've never really had any press statements where he's been like, I do this, this, and this, and I don't care.
Yeah.
You don't see him flaunting anything, you know? And I think that it's because, one, I've done research into Michael Phelps. Bob Bowman, his instructor, has been with mm-hmm. him since he was 12 or 11 years old, since he was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, from nothing to something, you know, and
keeping him grounded. Probably.
Exactly. I think it's the people around you that are going to keep you grounded. Yeah, you're amazing, but the shit isn't going to last.
Like,
you know?
Yeah. Like what I don't understand. And this is from my perspective, small town kid, all this stuff. I don't get how your mind switches to, I'm entitled to this. Is it the money? Is it like, how do you start to believe those people around you?
Maybe. I know how I felt when I got my government check.
Yeah.
You know, like all $500. I felt I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You were like, I should be on ESPN.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Like, don't worry. Claudio, put this one on me. Don't worry about that.
I'll sign a press conference.
You know what? It's okay. I don't feel like going to work today.
Right.
Because I got all the money in the world.
Right.
You know, I think money might have something to do with it, especially if you didn't have any before.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you have so much and you don't know what to do.
You know, you're right. But at the same time, yeah, you bring an interesting comparison between LeBron James and Michael Phelps. Mm. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is just the people you surround yourself with.
But could it be because swimming is...
An individual sport.
One... But swimming is not in the forefront of people's minds. In America, in my mind, it's mm-hmm. football, basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And baseball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is...
Hardly a sport.
I love... I agree.
Go White Sox.
Love going to baseball games. Can't watch it on TV. Like,
yeah.
I'll go to any sporting event, but watching it on TV, unless it's soccer, is like, I don't care. I just don't.
Good point.
Like, my roommate had the Final Four on, or I don't even know. See, I don't even know mm-hmm. if it's the Final Four yet. It stresses me out, mm-hmm. honestly, because I haven't watched TV in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It stresses me out.
It's a lot of anxiety, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole lot of anxiety.
Like, I don't understand how people can get personally invested in something that affects their life so little.
Yeah.
Like,
money. A lot of people put money down.
That's true.
Yeah, even when there's no money involved.
That's a good point.
I got so excited for a game that I put $5 on. I won $10, but man, I was on top of the world.
Yeah.
I was shit talking and everything. I became my worst enemy.
Yeah.
I did.
You were like, you just want more money.
I just want more money, and I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
All I have to say is $5 that the Bulls win.
Yeah.
They're facing the Heat. They're not mm-hmm. going to win.
Right.
Are you kidding me? They're on a 20 streak. Put money on it. I'll put $10. All right, cool.
And then it gets interesting.
Watch the game. I won. I got $10. I was on top of the world again.
Right.
I had all the money in the world.
Yeah.
You know.
I have. Okay. So my sort of opinion on that is, yeah, you're into sports, but what do you do? Like, to me, that is like, that's like a, it's not a disguise. That's the wrong word. But putting this like, this sport on top of your like personal life and like it's your thing. It's such like a stereotypically like man thing to do. Like,
right.
I don't want to sit around and talk about sports all day. Like, what are you doing with your life?
True.
Instead of watching television. You know what I mean?
I would have to agree. I agree completely that mm-hmm. there should be more in your life than just sports. And I, you know, if you are one of those guys that wake up, turn on ESPN radio, watch
you probably
ESPN.
Don't listen to this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about it.
I'm really going to hear
shit talk like crazy
say.
Right now.
get a life,
fans.
You know, let's go. But at the same time, like, I feel that we as men have these natural urges to fuck, fight,
compete,
yeah, dominate, you know? Like, if I call Claudio out on anything, you know, Claudio's not thinking, like, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
That's not him. You know, he's going to hate us. Like, are you serious? Do we have to do this now?
Yeah.
You know, but he's going to... He's not. I know that he is, and I'm the same way. Like, I don't like to back down from a challenge. I will if it isn't logical or reasonable.
Right.
Like, I want you to jump from this building.
he's puffing up over there. Do you guys see my opinion? Like, confrontation to me is like a huge tell of how you view yourself. Sort of like, mm-hmm, if you are a naturally, like, you can't back down from a fight,
then you're a moron.
yeah. Exactly. Like. There's nothing.
Watching.
That's true.
No, man, I'm good. Wait, what'd you say?
Take your shirt off. What? How did this happen? But I've always thought that if you can't back down, if you're like a fighter, you're trying to prove something, right? Yeah. You're trying to prove that you're manlier, you're the bigger dude. Mm-hmm. But to me, the guy that can say, whatever, man. That's the bigger man. That's the stronger man to me. Because you don't let this outward thing affect how you feel about yourself inside.
Right. Definitely if I'm alone, you know, like, all right, whatever, dude, keep huffing and puffing.
Right.
You know, but it's a completely different situation.
Social setting.
If you're with a group of friends.
You know, called you out. Right. You know, what's going to happen. You know, that's when, all right. All right, honey, let's go ahead and leave the bar. Wait, this guy just said this. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Wait, he did this. We'll get in the car and we'll talk about it later.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
You can't do that.
You got to defend. You feel like you have to defend yourself.
Exactly.
I have been in situations like that. I've actually punched a guy in a bar before. I'm not a violent person at all.
Hey,
but
here.
I'm
not a violent person either, but it's happened.
Yeah. It's not like,
yeah, it has.
I have super calm and super pissed.
Mm-hmm. It's like nothing, 0 to 60.
Nothing in between.
I think you might be one of those men who, you know, you're very, you know, you're confident, you're not arrogant, mm-hmm, you're not outspoken, you're not aggressive,
right,
you know, but everybody has those buttons. Everybody gets pushed to a certain point, you know, where you're just like, if, dude, this is my space, this is your space.
Yeah.
You cross this line again. You know, yeah. I can't. It has to go. It's
right.
Go
like
down.
There's no other way.
I have to.
For me, I mean, I was drinking, and it was in a dance club setting. Mm-hmm. I'm very anxious in those settings. I was dancing. If you call what I do dancing, probably not. I was flopping around in the beat of the music, and I ran into him a couple times, and I felt like I had to defend myself. Like he pushed me, and mm-hmm, people were looking at me like,
what are
you
gonna do
something? I felt like such an idiot after that. I was actually, this is funny, I was actually screen printing my senior thesis the night before that, the morning after that happened.
Awesome.
So I had one hand, I had stitches with it.
Uh-huh.
I had one hand printing my senior thesis. I was like, you, dude, you're such an idiot. Why did you do that? Like, why did you let somebody push you like that? You didn't need to like puff out and defend yourself. I guess I've
been in the same situation, worse, much, much, much worse than you. And then when I've talked to my father about it, he's like, next time, don't break your hand on someone's face.
Right.
And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that does. You know, and he always said, don't let someone, you know, how dads always have these one-liners before you do anything. You know, it's
right,
like, let someone else be stupid.
Yeah.
What? I got to go.
I was like, wait. See ya. Okay, what do I do with that?
Okay, thanks. You know, so it's, you know, we as cognitive, conscious, social human beings, you know, we don't want to fight. But
right,
there are people that are going to want to fight us, you know.
I don't regret punching that dude in the face. I want to say that on the record. He was an asshole. He deserved it.
I do think
that some people just like need to get
their ass kicked.
Just like there's no other way of doing it. I don't know if that's good or bad. I say that.
I think it's good. Some people do need their ass kicked.
Right.
You know, if you keep bumping into my girl, my girlfriend, my female friend, even
right,
my male friend, like,
yeah,
dude, relax.
Right.
I don't get, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I'm going to write a very angry letter.
Yeah, you know, to my congressman about this.
To my congressman about it, sir. What is your ward? You know, you can't do that.
Yeah, you got it. Like, what else are you going to do? You have to stand up for yourself.
Right.
You
exactly.
could always just ignore it.
That's true.
Go on with
That's
your life.
Very hard for me to do.
Yeah,
I think
you
the
try
well,
it,
the more
it's, yeah, some, it's something that I grew it. Into actually.
Yeah.
To ignore
I grew
it?
Into ignoring it.
Really?
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Really? You need to give me an example, Claudio, on how you were.
Are you saying physically you would ignore something, or if someone
verbal, I can ignore.
Yeah.
Physical stuff. You know, I think that's a well, much shorter.
There are certain words that set me off.
Go.
Racism.
Okay.
Somebody saying something stupid about gay people because uh-huh. it's so ignorant about any racism or ethnic slur or something towards another human because of the way they are mm-hmm. or their skin color. Done. Snapped. I don't care who you are. You're an idiot. You don't deserve to be here.
You need to hang out more.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it's that those things are like, I'm getting like adrenaline thinking about them. Like, I think there's certain things you need to defend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them.
Definitely. Like, I've had my first racial slur maybe a couple months ago.
Who'd you say?
I didn't know.
Yeah. Who did you slur against? Let's talk about
just some black guy. Just saying. But, well, okay, so it was a bunch of like white guys outside of a bar,
yeah.
and they were freestyling, and then I started to freestyle too.
Right.
And then I was like, apparently I was better because everybody was like, yeah, right behind me.
Yeah.
And then one of them goes, oh, you effing N-word. You know? And so I was like, all right, whatever. But everyone in my group got more mad than I did.
Yeah.
You know? And they rushed to my defense.
Yeah.
You know, so
do you? Yeah, I think you were probably just trying to like smooth the situation over. You're like, I don't want to turn this into
yeah,
stuff.
It's like, okay,
this dude's an idiot.
Thank you.
But your friend, like, I would do the same thing.
Exactly. That's why I'd say we need to hang out more.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
you'll just probably see an arm coming over your
exactly.
Fist.
What happened? Oh, I had. Wait. He must have said a racial slur.
I had a soccer teammate who was from Trinidad. He's a black dude. Very, very heavy accent. Mm-hmm. Very. Nicest dude ever.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with anybody. So we went to this party at the baseball team's house. I liked
baseball
most
team.
Of them. Baseball. Damn baseball. This dude was just kept like throwing shit at his name was Abby. Just kept throwing shit at him just because he was black.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. And this turned into this whole thing. He got a full beer thrown at him and we were all there and you know like in college you're in college, you're on a team, you're on a college team, you're like, yeah. okay, fuck
somebody,
this guy.
Somebody throws a beer, someone throws a chair, somebody throws anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, throw a bottle cap.
Exactly.
Go off.
It's off.
So we ended up outside. He said something. I threw a punch, and it started, and I got my ass beat by so many people, like kicked in the head, all this shit. And I felt good because I was defending my friend. Like, that mm-hmm. is the... I don't care if I get my ass kicked. You
definitely.
Don't say that.
You stood up. You stood up for what you believe in.
I mean, I was on the ground. I was in a tree. In my I mean, if I felt... I felt like I had to. Like,
yeah.
There's something in me that was just like, there's no other way to solve this right now.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of like intuitive. That's
mm-hmm.
like something that's like a snap that we all go to. It's like, all right, I'm on now.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Yeah.
It just...
And like, right, I think some things are worth that.
Definitely. So, Claudio, what's one of our favorite questions to ask? I think this is a great opportunity.
Well, yeah, speaking of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an ongoing kind of sub-theme of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this is just a ruse to get people on my side.
I see.
It's okay.
I feel
so there's
torn.
There's this epic question here. Is it Batman or James Bond?
Oh, jeez.
Now, before you answer.
No, before
let me
he
hear.
Starts spewing his... Go.
Well,
go ahead.
Before I answer,
I don't think much needs to be said about Batman.
Yeah.
You know, but James Bond, they both have the same power. According to, I think, well, Claudia
okay,
and I differ
no,
on this.
You can be quiet now. So.
You see this? I'm not going to say much.
Wait, who's your Batman, your James Bond?
So yeah, essentially, you have two fictional characters with the exact same superpower.
Yeah.
Unlimited amounts of money and gadgets. When you break it down, I mean, you could probably throw Iron
James
Man
Bond
in there, but he
doesn't
Iron
have
Man.
Unlimited amount of money, and my
let me
does.
Let me okay. ask this because my knowledge of James Bond is terrible.
Okay.
Did his parents die at any point?
Yeah, he was an orphan.
He was an orphan. So it's the same.
They're both orphans with unlimited money
but
and gadgets.
James Bond did not see his parents die.
Didn't see his parents die. Maybe that's why he's so suave.
They died in a hanging or a cliff accident.
You're not going to like this, Claudia.
I don't really care.
I'm going to go with Batman because he to me feels like the underdog. Even though the underbat actually. He's like James Bond wears all these suits and gets all the girls.
So does Bruce Wayne.
That's true. Bruce Wayne's way more depressed than James Bond though. And he has like a darker side to him, I think.
I think that if anything, like let's say if the man wears a mask, you know, I think Bruce Wayne is Batman. Is Batman.
Right.
But it's Bruce Wayne that is the mask.
Right.
You know? Because Batman doesn't want to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to be Batman. You know.
But James Bond goes to bed and he's James Bond. He wakes up, he's James Bond. He doesn't have to put a costume on to defend the world.
That's true. But.
But he's paid to do it.
And he
true.
And he doesn't have a sidekick.
But he's
he doesn't have a sidekick. This is tough.
To do it.
You guys are not making it easy for me.
it's not supposed to be easy.
My gut says Batman.
Well.
I was a little bit of a comic guy when I was growing up, so.
Okay.
I love James Bond. I have all of his movies. Mm-hmm. I've read the books. Well, that's not true. I haven't read all the books. I read the first few pages of Casino Royale. You know,
that counts.
You're an expert.
Right, but Batman has comic books. James Bond has, you know, originally started off as novels.
I mean, okay, and then we have this, though. Just breaking it down to very, very, what's the word? Gadgets.
Gadgetry.
Cool gadgetry.
Accoutrement.
Yeah, l'accoutrement. So, would you have a Batmobile or an Aston Martin Vanquish?
Oh, are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Me?
The fucking Aston Martin.
Batmobile shoots fire.
I would say Batmobile. Easily.
They do the same shit. They both have like their special things, and the Batmobile does not have a defibrillator.
Let me... Ooh, that's true. That's true. He's got to have something in his bat cape belt thing that's a defibrillator. Which one is more manly?
James Bond.
James Bond, you think? Is it because he gets? Is it because he
exudes
masculinity?
Because A, he exudes masculinity.
Because
and
it's
B,
a fact.
Because he doesn't hide who he is to do what he does.
That's true.
Even though he's a supposedly secret agent, everyone knows who he is.
He's like,
well,
oh, it's James
you
Bond
have to
again.
Think about something,
like,
Claudio.
Oh, this fucking guy.
James Bond doesn't care about anybody. James Bond doesn't have any living relatives.
No, he cares about king and country. Or king
he doesn't have any living relatives. He has no brothers, no sisters. He has no girlfriend.
No,
he has no aunts or uncles, nothing. It's just James Bond.
Batman's- he has Great Britain and the Queen of England.
That's right. Absolutely.
I see.
They went to
a party.
That's true. That's true.
Batman, on the other hand, all right, he's got Alfred. He's got an entire Wayne Enterprise that's under Bruce Wayne. You know, he's got an entire... Bruce Wayne is the face of a company.
He's for the people.
You know,
Batman.
he's for Gotham City, you know.
James Bond defends an entire country. Batman defends a city.
Have you not heard of the Justice League of America where they save the world?
No, we're not talking about James Bond or what the fuck, Batman and friends.
just Batman.
Oh, that's right, because James Bond doesn't have any friends.
Ooh.
He's a fucking loner. He's the definition of a cool dude.
Yeah. Batman is a loner. Okay.
All right. So our questions aside, obviously, I won this argument.
Sorry, I told you this gets heated.
It's heated.
Let's get
you
back
guys
to
wanna, it. We'll have another Fight Club.
Yeah, definitely. I brought my bat suit.
Okay, that's good. And Claudio is already wearing a tuxedo. So.
Yeah, he's got his tux.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
So, final answer.
With the sleeves ripped up.
Batman.
Batman's my final answer.
Word. Well,
cool.
Hey, man.
I think we're pretty tight, aren't we?
Actually, no. Batman's very heavily winning, actually.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
There's only ever been one James Bond.
Roy Kinsey.
Only ever?
Roy Kinsey. Anyhow, that's pretty much all the time we have for the show today. Very much appreciate you being on, man.
It was a very
great show. Thank you for having me.
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I love this conversation. So if any of our beautiful listeners would like to find your work, where would they find it?
Beautiful listeners. You can find my work at idiotpull.com, or you can
spell
follow
it out.
Idiot and then P-U-L-L.
Idiot Pull.
I am the idiot and I pull things. And you can also follow me at idiotpull on Twitter.
Neat. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's do
and
our
ladies and gentlemen,
again.
Thanks for joining us on Modern Macho. To quote Hank Williams. If the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you along the course soon.
Hell yeah. Yeah.